2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now let's read together, please. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Father, thank you for this new year that we have. Thank you for an opportunity to start right, do what's right. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and help us today, convict us if that's necessary. Father, just work in our hearts, prepare us for this year ahead. Lord, I pray that this would be accomplished by the preaching of the Word of God through our pastor as he comes. Use him this morning to help us. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for that task. And then, Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they'd settle it before they leave this room today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate. It's the new year, and we really don't want to have to take and drag you out of the service and beat you with a stick. And so, no, just kidding. Just help us there. Would you please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate so it does not go off in our service this morning? We would appreciate that. Now then, because it's Lord's Supper time, according to my watch, I have approximately 4 minutes and 30 seconds to finish the sermon before it's noon, because all good Baptists not only sit in the back of the church, but they also watch their clocks. So we got to be really careful this morning. I'm going to have to talk really fast so I can get done in 4 minutes and 28 seconds. It's not going to happen, but I'm going to try my very, 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 very best. The start of the new year, we do several things, as I mentioned this morning a little bit ago, that in our Sunday school hour, 10 o'clock hour, we teach through the basics of the Christian life. And then in Sunday mornings, in the morning service, we also pray specifically, and I ask God to give me the messages that will help us to start our new year the right way and that will help us throughout this next year. So we don't know how much time we have left on this earth, do we? Do we also know and realize that if you're here today and a child of God, what he said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 in the Bible applies to you? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at me this morning. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We know there are several judgments yet to come. We know there's one for the unsaved and one for the saved. We know there's one for Israel. We know there's one for the nations of this earth, etc. And there's several different judgments that are to come. This one this morning that we're going to talk about is for the saved, for the child of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that one particular verse is just one of many verses given us in the Bible that explain this event of the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, there's a lot of detail about the judgment seat of Christ in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 14 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's several different passages that kind of give us a great idea of what's going to happen one day when every child of God has a one-on-one appointment to stand in front of Jesus Christ and for Him to look at your life and what you did with it. Now, I wish I could take more time to develop this more carefully, but I want to just give you some thoughts this morning about the judgment seat of Christ. Here's some things you need to consider. First of all, you need to consider the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. We know it's going to happen someday, but we need to keep it in our minds that it could happen today. You mean today, Pastor Johnson, today we could be at the judgment seat of Christ? Yes. You see, what happens according to the order of things in the Word of God is we're awaiting the return of Jesus Christ for His own. Trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation chapter 4 talks about how there was a great door open, and I heard a voice as a trumpet crying, "Come up hither." And that's the picture of the rapture of the church, where the saved are taken up off this earth. Those whose bodies, the saved whose bodies are in the grave, they are not there, their bodies are there. Their bodies in the grave are raised and changed. And in that twinkling moment, we are caught up together at the clouds, and we meet the Lord in the air, and we return to heaven. Well, in Revelation 4, where it says, "I heard a voice from heaven, and a great door opened, saying, 'Come up hither.'" The next thing you see in that passage is a throne. Because on that throne sits the Lord Jesus Christ, and He begins to do an examination one-on-one of all of the saved from Adam to that moment. Now listen to me, Christian. Listen to me. That is the truth of Scripture as much as Genesis 1:1, John 3:16, or anything else in the Bible. The reality is the event of the return of Christ for His own is imminent. We're right on the moment of it. We're on the verge of it. I'm surprised we got through another year. Frankly, I'm to the point now, I'm surprised we get through another day. It's that close. It's that soon. And if Jesus comes today and the trump of God sounds and we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, it's judgment seat of Christ time. Some people think when the Lord returns, boy, we all get to go to heaven. Well, the truth of the matter is, no, we don't. We're going to be standing before Him. Now that's a reality that every child of God needs to get a hold of in their life. Because listen to me, if you could face Him today with the life you have lived up to this moment, does that cause you great joy or great fear? I don't think anybody, I don't care how good a Christian you are, doesn't think of that moment with some degree of fear in their hearts, thinking, "Oh my soul, you mean today? After this week that I've had? You mean today?" I don't care who you are, there should be a certain degree of fear in our hearts, as it were. And I'm not talking about being afraid. I'm just talking about a respect for the awesomeness of the moment. But also, listen to me. It's not that you go to the judgment seat of Christ and heaven and hell is determined. That was determined in this life, not that one. But what He's going to do is He's going to look at your life, child of God. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Now we'll cover that passage a little bit more in just a moment. I just want the reality of the judgment seat of Christ to sink in for a moment. I want you to realize how close it is and how imminent it is. When we talk about, boy, Christians get so excited when you talk about the second coming of Christ. Look how everybody got happy when I mentioned it this morning. It's amazing how they get just, "Oh yes, Jesus is coming soon." That means the judgment seat of Christ is coming soon also. That's just a sobering thought, but it's an important thought. And it's just as imminent. The judgment seat of Christ is just as imminent as the return of Christ. And the reality of the judgment seat of Christ is that all of the saved will appear there. Now let me explain to you what that means. It is not a collective judgment. It's only collective in the sense that all of the saved are there. But it's an individual judgment. Romans chapter 14 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us. That means one at a time. We are called forth and we stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He examines the life that we have lived from the moment of our salvation to that moment. Now, if that's not a reality check, I'm not sure what is. Think about that for a moment. And again, I'm not trying to say, well, you ought to be scared to death. I'm saying we ought to be living like we're expecting that moment to come today. And our life should have been lived up to this moment in the anticipation that we're going to stand in front of Him one day. And He's going to say, "Mike Johnson, listen to me." He's not going to say, "Shasta Baptist Church," and all the people of Shasta Baptist Church are going to stand. No, He's going to call you one at a time. "I'm going to be standing there. You'll be standing there if you're a child of God. Every one of us, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." What's interesting in all the things that are said about the judgment seat of Christ is I don't find us saying anything. "Except every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord" in Romans 14. So I assume that at the completion we kneel and we honor Him. So then how do you give an account? He looks at your life who already knows your life. And listen now, your life is revealed before Him and all the saved of humanity. Now if you think judgment before Jesus is something that's to be considered, consider judgment before all the saved of eternity. all the saved of mankind from the first man to the last one. Consider that you'll be standing in the crowd with people who watched their children get their intestines torn out of their bodies and stood for the cause of Christ. Consider that you'll be standing at the judgment seat of Christ with people who gave their lives for the faith of what they believe. Consider that you'll be standing there with the apostles and with others who served the Lord with their lives. None of us perfect, only on the saved. I understand that. But now consider the crowd that you will be with. And consider that your life will be revealed before the Lord and all those that stand there. That's a reality thing. That's something that every child of God, it should impact and affect our lives. Each of us, one at a time in front of the Lord. Well, by the way, the reality of the judgment seat of Christ is this also. You do want to be there. You say, I don't think I want to be at there. Yeah, yes, you do. Because see, that's a place for the saved who stand there. As much as it's sobering to think I'm going to give an account of my life to the Lord and before all the saved of mankind, I still want to be at that judgment because that's the one you want to stand at. That's the one that the redeemed are there for. That means you are saved. That means you are going to heaven. God, at the judgment seat of Christ, nothing is determined about eternity. One more time, all that could be done for your salvation had to have been done in this life. When you came to Christ and trusted Him for your salvation, He saved you and took your sin record and justified you in the sight of God by His precious blood. Now listen to me. That means, my friend, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're there to be judged for what you did as a child of God, what your life was. And that's a reality that we need to consider this morning, and we need to be very careful to think about. And actually, in a sense, we need to be glad. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're probably going to be with a lot of us saying, this one, this is good. You say, well, my faith is greater than that, Pastor Johnson. Mine is too, but I'm still going to breathe a sigh of relief, and you know you will too. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says there's also a reckoning there. That everyone may receive, it says verse number 10, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. What is judged at the judgment seat of Christ? What does he look at? He says, everything that you may receive, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Listen, whether it be good or bad, so does that mean sin is judged at the judgment seat of Christ? No. The good and bad here is talking about the quality of something. Not sin and righteousness. What you did for God, the works that you did for God, he's going to look at them and he's going to, as he says in 1 Corinthians 3, he's going to determine if they're wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. He's going to look at them and determine the quality of what you did. Let me make it simple for you. The judgment seat of Christ, the Lord is going to examine your works, not your sin, because your sin was judged on Calvary when Jesus died for you. But he is going to look at your works and what you did with your life, and he's going to determine what you did and why. Why matters to God. That's why 1 Corinthians 3 says, take heed how you build thereon. How involves why as well as what. You've seen people do something before, and they didn't do a very good job at it because they had a bad attitude. They didn't want to go to work. And you had to suffer their indifference about work. You go in a retail place and someone's there just to draw a paycheck and fill up some time. They don't want to help anybody. They don't want to do anything. You can't get anything done. And that you suffer for their indifference. Well, they still get a paycheck, but they didn't do it well. You know something, Christian? What and why is going to matter to God? That you went to church, that's good. Why did you go, though? That you gave your $1.298 to the work, that's good. But why did you give it? That you did something for the cause of Jesus Christ, that's good. But why did you do it? You have to remember this statement about the judgment seat of Christ. It is not the truckload of works you take to the judgment seat that matters. It's what you leave with that counts. Remember the gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble thing? That wood, hay, stubble are all items that are made out of wood and that will not pass the examination of his fiery examination and judgment. They'll be burned up and gone. That means there'll be Christians who will come with loads of things that they have done for God, but they didn't do the what and the why together. They just did what they wanted to do. They did it because they wanted to be noticed. They did it because they wanted appreciation. They did it because they wanted a pat on the back. They did it for self-glory instead of God's glory. That stuff is burned up in a moment. It's gone. You see, you have to consider this. At the judgment seat of Christ, in a 7-year period of time, God takes all of the saved from Adam to the last one and examines them one at a time, and it only takes 7 years. While this earth goes through tribulation, we're with the Lord. And it only takes 7 years to examine every child of God one at a time. Do you know why? Because it doesn't take long for someone to step up and say, let's see, reveal what he did. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Reveal what he did. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Reveal what she did. Enter into the joy of the Lord, because it's gone. It's burned up in a moment because it was not done for the right reason. You know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We need to get off this whining, complaining, griping mentality as God's people. Don't you gripe about having a job. You hear me? Don't gripe about it. Don't gripe about being at home. Don't gripe about having a work. Don't gripe about having a home. Don't gripe about your life. Don't gripe about what you have. You need to stop that now. Listen to me. I'm not saying get help when you have troubles. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're picking this thing up from society today where people are complaining about everything in their life. They go to a place and get something to eat and the steak is not cooked right, and they act like they've been insulted, assaulted, and should get their name on the record of the Lamb's Book of Life and the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Stop it. No, knock it off. Don't get up and go to church on a Sunday morning and say, well, I have to go to church. No, no, no. You get to go to church, and the why is as important as the what. See, it's a reckoning time, the judgment seat of Christ. What you did and why. Sin is not judged, but the quality of what you have done is. I like those judgment parables where Jesus ends them and he says, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. There really will be people at the judgment seat of Christ pushing their way to the front of the line. Say, me, 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 I'll go next. I got a lot of stuff here. Me, next, me. Look at all the things I've done and accomplished and achieved for the Lord. Me first, me first. Then there'll be those dear people who'll be standing in the back of the crowd saying, I hope he never calls my name. I don't recall of me ever really doing much of anything with my life. Listen to me. And Jesus will say, dear grandma over here, grandma, you come stand up here. You, Dr. Reverend Wigglips, you go stand in the back of the line. And he brings her up here and he says, now, Grandma, you just did your best by your kids and loved them and tried to do right. Well done, good and faithful servant. See, it's a reckoning time. I think a lot of people are going to be very pleasantly surprised at the judgment seat of Christ. I think some people are going to be very disappointed. See, I may not be able to do all that others do. I'm not going to be able to stand next to a martyr and look at that person and say, well, you know, we're on equal ground here, pal. There's no way. I'm not going to be able to stand with people of the centuries now who've done so much for the Lord Jesus and sacrificed so greatly with their lives. I'm not going to be able to do that. I know I'm not. But see, God doesn't judge me by what they have done. He judged me by what I have done with my life. I don't have talents and abilities. I can't sing. I don't have these things. I don't have the stuff that people think is so important in the Christian life today. I don't have those kind of things. I don't have that. I don't have great abilities in areas. I don't. But I know one thing. I know if I give him my best, he will be pleased with that. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the faithfulness of good as a rewarded quality, well, I can do that. You can too. It's a reckoning time, the judgment seat of Christ. No sin is judged, just the works to determine the quality of what you have done and why. And then, of course, it's a rewarding time that everyone may receive the things done in his body. What rewards do we receive? Well, we get to go to heaven, Pastor Johnson. No, that's not a reward. Listen now, heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift. That's all part of the package of eternal life. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you have heaven guaranteed in your life. You have eternity and eternal life. Those are gifts. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift, not a reward. Heaven is not a reward. So what do we receive? Well, the Bible tells us about crowns that we receive. But then before you get out of Revelation 4 to Revelation 5, we cast those crowns at his feet. We're not going to walk around heaven wearing crowns. But that's part of the reward. But what is the reward is this. This is going to disappoint some people, but it shouldn't. The reward is, he looks at your life and he's pleased. Because that's why he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You mean we get an attaboy after all that? That's what we get? We get a pat on the back? That's it? Don't I get extra shiny floors in my mansion? Don't I get 900,000 square foot television to watch reruns? I mean, don't I get anything out of this deal? Don't I get something more than you did, good son? That's it? That's all you get? What do you mean that's all you get? But see, the problem is this. We're not living for that now, so it isn't going to matter to us then. It should be by the end of the day when you pillow your head at night, you gave God your best and you did your best to honor Him with your life. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And when you get to heaven, is there any greater reward than to look in His face? And in the midst of all these dear people who've given so much and done so much, God favors you with, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't think you get any bigger mansions. I don't think your streets are going to be any shinier. I don't think your heaven's going to be any better. I just think what He does is He favors you with His approval. Now look here. If that's important now, it'll be important then. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know what your reward is when you get to heaven? You know what He rewards you with? More opportunities to serve Him. Revelation 22. The shall be's of Revelation 22. There's a bunch there. And one of them is His servants shall serve Him. You know those Christians. You know what I'm talking about. Someone in church asked them to help them with something at church. No. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't want to get involved. I got a lot of things going on in my life. And they do. And they, God bless them. They have so many things that go on in their lives. So many things. And to them, serving God isn't a blessing and a privilege. It's a burden. It's just going to take more of their time. But then there's that group of Christians, and there's a bunch of them in this church, who take this idea of serving God as a privilege and a blessing, and it's something they can do for Him. And when you get to heaven, you know what God says to those folks? I got something for you to do that will last forever, and His servants shall serve Him. You say, you're scaring me to death now, Pastor Johnson. I'd rather go back and have Him judge my sin than keep me busy for the rest of forever. I thought heaven was swinging around on heavenly hammocks with long blonde hair, playing harps and sprinkles poofa dust on people. I thought that's what heaven was. I thought you just got to just sit around and do nothing forever. You got to be kidding me. How boring could that possibly be? No, He's going to have things for us to do. Hey, that's a good thing. And the more you do for Him now, the more you get to do for Him later. See, that's why I'm holding it all for later on, Pastor Johnson. No, I don't think if you did much now, He'll give you much for later either. Because, see, reward of blessing and service is a blessing to a servant. You mean that's it? That's the reward? I mean, I don't get extra money in my heavenly bank account? Hey, God paves the streets with the stuff. That's not the issue. You mean to tell me I don't get to stand up in front of everyone and there's a red carpet and I walk down the aisle and they all applaud, they pat me on the back and tell me what a great person I am? You mean I don't get any of that? I don't get any of the stuff that people just think is so important today, the approval and acceptance of man. I don't get any of that. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where the acceptance or approval of people in eternity has anything to do with the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, we should just be thankful that we're in the crowd. Then we ought to be thankful we're allowed to stand in that crowd with the people who will be around us. Some amazing servants of God. We'll be right there with them. That's amazing. And then to stand in front of Him and think, man, I don't know. I don't have what they had and they did. I just try to do my best for God. And then Him to look you in the face and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. So that'll be a proud moment, Pastor Johnson. Pride will have nothing to do with it. It'll have everything to do with the one who gave you that opportunity, Jesus. It'll have everything to do with the fact that you didn't do everything that you should, but you did at least do your best for God. It wasn't one of those backseat things with Him. You just tried to do your best for Him. So lift up your head, Mom. Lift up your head, Dad. So I didn't preach any sermons. I didn't write any books. I didn't do all these things that people do in the Christian work. I just went to work and provided for my family and tried to raise them the best way I could and do what I should have done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. I taught a Sunday school class. Well done, good and faithful servant. See, that should be important to us now because that's what's going to be important then. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. that every one of us may receive the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. I cannot always say that I've done everything to my best for the Lord, but I can't say I work at that. I want to be the kind of person who stands in front of Jesus, and I don't put myself in front, but he says, Mike Johnson, you did your best, and well done, good and faithful servant. Doing your best shouldn't be just something. It should be the thing that we do for him. Now, Christian, look at me. So let's get off this Sunday morning Christianity where we pop in and pop out and make an appearance for God and go on about our merry way. That isn't going to work. I'm sorry, but I'm not ever going to apologize for the fact that this church puts the heat on people. Not going to do it. Because, see, you may not like me now, but you'll like me later. I guarantee you that. To try to get you off your blessed assurance and get busy for God and do something with your life. So I can't do what everyone else does. Doesn't make any difference. You do your best. God is pleased. But you give him your best, not the rest of what's left over. Well done, good and faithful servant. There's our reward. Good enough, isn't it? It is then, if it is now. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Would you? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Well, first of all, and most importantly, we need to be sure we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. In order to be there then, you have to have received Christ now. Eternal life in heaven is not something we are given later. It's something we are guaranteed now. If by faith we have trusted Christ as our Savior and received him for our salvation. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. Get that idea out of your mind that somewhere down the road you'll stand in front of God and he'll weigh the good and bad and you'll go to heaven because you're good. No, you'll go to heaven because you're saved. And saved by receiving Christ's payment for your salvation. It is so amazing, yet it is so simple because Jesus has done the hard part of it all. He has come, died for you, went to the grave, and rose again 3 days later. And then gave you his word to tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have eternal life this morning, guaranteed by receiving God's gift that Christ paid for with his precious blood. As much as it may be a sobering thought to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll say it again, you do want to be there. You do. That means you're his child and you're going to heaven. And he needs to examine the life that you live. Do you know that you have eternal life, and are you sure? Or maybe there might be a question in your mind. Or maybe you know for a fact that you have not settled that. This moment now is for you. Would you let us help you today? The ladies will play on these instruments, and here's what you need to do. Just simply step from your seat to the nearest aisle and take that aisle down here to the front and meet with us for a moment. We'll have someone step aside with you and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You may be a visitor or a guest who came with someone. Ask that person to come with you. But let's settle that thing and be sure we have salvation and eternal life. According to what the Bible says, I promise you, you'll make no speeches to us or in front of us. We'll simply show you in the Bible what salvation is and that it's through Christ, and then you'll make your decision in a private place. Would you let us help you? Child of God, we know we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's still not the issue, is it? What are we going to go with, and what will we leave with in our lives? What and why? That matters to him. I cannot do everything as well as some people do, but I can do it to my very best ability. You can do that too, by the way. And many do. I'm telling you, I believe a lot of folks are going to be very pleasantly surprised at the judgment seat. Let's make sure we put that in order in our lives. Because the next verse says, 1 Corinthians 5:10, the next verse says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade, man. It doesn't mean he puts the fear in you. It means we're going to face him with the simplicity of the honest truth of what our life is and why we lived it. I'd rather have one day of sincerity before God than just go on with the way life is if it's not right. Child of God, yield to him. What would he have you do? Father, bless now. Work in our hearts during this invitation moment, we pray. Settle upon us in this room and help us to see clearly where we stand before you and what our life is and what our life isn't and what decisions need to be made accordingly. Bless this moment to hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The ladies begin to play. You yield to the Lord as they play. You come.